What about your life when you were down there in southern Missouri, Father?
Oh. Well, when I was born in the day of ox carts and two-wheel carts pulled by steers, yokes of steers. People went, if they had a family of more than four, they went in these ox carts, and many times the man walked along driving the steers and the woman and children sitting in the little boxes on them two wheels. You could hear that thing squeak sometimes for miles. They greased them with salt soap or tar. And they'd run out and you hear squeak, 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 squeak. I remember well when one time when they was coming in to build a house for one of my brothers, half brother. And when the two got married then, the neighbors come in and they'd build him a house and make rails and throw off maybe fence in 4 or 5 acres of ground for him. They start from that, you know, to housekeeping and to make a living. And I know some is already there, and you hear where one of them coming at a cold, frosty morning in the fall. And some said to old Mike Ahart, some said to old Billy Blue, others said to Cal Gray, others said to old Bill Calvert, and another made mention is old Patrick Quillen, an old Irishman lived over there. One come is a whole entirely different one. It wasn't the one they thought it was at all. It was a sort of name of Barnhart. Anyhow, as I was telling you, the ground, if they went anywhere to take a trip for a visit, they go and stay all night. The neighbors maybe go 2 or 3 or 10 miles, I said, or maybe 15 miles, and they stay maybe 2 or 3 nights. Well, if they all had 1 or 2 children, the woman would ride a horse and carry one in her lap, and the man would ride a horse and take one up in his lap. If they had 4 children, the man would take one up behind him and one in his lap, and the woman had one up behind her and one in her lap and go horseback. They got more than that while they went to these steers, now, the way I told you. A little two-wheel cart, they wheeled the salt off the logs and then trimmed it around. Some of them had tires put on them, and some of them didn't. But that's the way they went. And I never seen a team hooked to a wagon, so I must have been, outside of steers, I must have been 10, 11 years old. And then they began to work horses to the wagon. Well, people were very sociable there, very sociable. They, as I tell you, when two got married, they'd come together that way and build them a house and start them up. And then their duty, the father generally gives the boy a yoke of steers and a horse. And the father, the woman, would give her a cow, and her mother would give her a dozen hands. And that's the way they started up. That's right.
It wouldn't be much of a start today, would it?
No. But people were more sociable then than they are now. They didn't have no way of going hardly, and they visited and stayed longer for a visit, you know. I've seen our house when we had 6 beds, high beds did, and then had a ton of beds under each one of them. And I've seen come to our house, I've seen beds made over the floor besides what I slept in the bed. And it was always welcome. And when we butchered in the fall, we butchered hogs. My father did that, as everybody did. He'd butcher up to high as 40 or 50 head of hogs. And then he sugar cured the meat. And then he sold the meat out to steamboats would come and towns would order it, like Jefferson City would order so much meat as some store man, you know. Or on down the river, even he shipped some for St. Louis 1 year. And he shipped hogs one time in St. Louis and sent them on a boat. And if I recollect right, they come back order that he owed a little on expenses. The Hogs didn't bring enough down there to pay all the expenses. So he never shipped anymore. He sent the money, though, to pay that. And we had 311 acres in the river bottom, on the river, 100 acres out in the bottom, rest on them hills, that big bluff, you know. Lived right along the river, it's a mile long. And then he had 68 acres over on the creek, there's about 20 acres of that was farmland. And that was our home. And we was out of debt, and Father, I like to tell you, this little experience come up. Father signed a note with his first wife's uncle. Way back, I don't know where it was, in Virginia or Ohio. He lived both places. And after I could recollect now, here this note come again him. And we had our land all paid for and had, I don't know how many head of cattle and lots of hogs. Hogs all run out, cattle all run out. And it amounted to $2,700 and some. Father had $2,000, and the man said to him, he said, Uncle Lewis, he said, that's outlawed. I believe you could beat it if you do it. And he said, no, I signed that to make it good, and I'll pay it. So he had to go and borrow money. Now, I'm telling you, this is just as straight as I know it. He had to go borrow the $700, 700 and something, and he had to take the $2,000 and paid the note off. I had it a long time. I don't know what ever went with it. He paid it off, and he took sick on the road home and drove these cattle and hogs 12 miles in the deep snow. It was in January. And the snow there is slushy. They're not like that here. And that was before we had overshoes. We didn't have overshoes then. And he took cold, and he had to stay all night up there and come home the next evening, and he said, hey, he got home a little afternoon, you're here, you know, don't go very fast. And he said to Mother, he said, well, it's all paid off now, and he said, I've got $180 some to come to me. I don't recollect just what, but I recollect 180. And he said, Brumley's going to go up and cancel the mortgage and bring it to me. Her father took double pneumonia and died next morning. He had it then, sick when he came. He died next morning about sunup. Well, Brumley come back and got after that, and he told him, my mother, it was a mistake there, that he didn't have it right, that so much coming yet, you know. Well, after 2 years, he said, now, he let us keep that 60 acres over on the river, over on the creek. And we let him have the tie timber off of it. Well, now he didn't have no mortgage on that at all. And then he persuaded my mother not to sign over a deed to this 311 acres to Jeff Ballou, his son-in-law. And then she could move over on this 60 acres. He never did have no nothing in that. Just have to beat Mother out of everything we had. That's all, except the 6 acres and took the tie timber off of that. So you see what I had to go up against. And then...
How many in the family was of you then?
Huh?
How many in the family was there then?
Well, there was me and my brother and one own sister and a half-sister at home. And I'll try to explain a little more to you, then get it all. Father married the first time. He married a woman by the name of Baldwin. To them were born seven children, five boys and two girls. Then she passed away. And about 5 or 6 years later, he married a woman by name of Custer, a niece of George Washington, Margaret Custer. And to them was 5 children born. There was Mark and Lucy and Lou, and Margaret and Cal. Margaret named after her mother. And then my mother had been married and had four children, and then they got married, and they had four children, and they 20 of us all together. I'm all alone now living, and I was 87 last Monday. All of us gone. My brother died in Oregon a year ago last June, something about the 20th of June or 28th of June, I forget which it was. He was 91. He was older than me. He was from March to 5 years. He was from March to September. He was 5 years as the 16th of March, and then from that to the 30th of September, older than me, you see. So I was going to tell you now, my half-sister got married a fellow from Illinois, the name Hathaway. He was a nice man every way, but he'd drink. He'd get drunk, and he got drunk, and he'd spend the last dollar he had for whiskey. And then he worked again, and he'd get a little head, and next thing you know, he'd be drunk. Well, we moved from, kept hearing about in Kansas some days, you know, you could enter land. Homesteaded, preempted, called it. And we went to Kansas, and the land was there, all right, in Old Sage County, is west of Joplin, in Old Sage County, Kansas. Just over in, I believe it's second county. Of course, I was just a kid again. And so we had to haul wood 18 to 20 miles. And there was no coal then. There was little stuff dug out down there where it chipped out of the bank on a creek, but it wouldn't burn hardly at all. It just rotten stuff. Well, my brother-in-law decided, and my mother, that it's too far to haul, and he said, now let's go down in Asia, Arkansas, and we can get land there, and there's all kind of timber down there. So we moved down to Asia, Arkansas, and there was plenty of timber, but it's all before land, don't think it wasn't. Well, I worked in 25 cents a day for Hogshead and Joe, for half a bushel of corn and 4 days for a bushel of wheat. But yet we never went hungry or cold. Always had something to eat, but it was hard going, hard sledding, hard to build up. And so that you can see something about the life I lived. My brother went away, he went away to haul a show for a man by the name of Diamond and a fellow by the name of King, a country duty show, you know. And when they got down there, why, in the Texas, the horses took the Texas Southern fever, and one of them died, and he took the fever, kind of a yellow fever they had there then, and while he was in bed, they let the horses out then, a bucket of strap around the horse's front foot, leg here above his hoof, had a 100-foot rope on it, and take down, and they pulled the bridle off of him. He just winked and kicked and run the length of the sudden, turned to Somerset and broke his neck. Killed him. Well, he had this new wagon and harness, all he had left. So he sold him, and when he come back to where we was, we'd moved away, and nobody seemed to know where we went to. And then he come on back down to Miller County and married, when we come back, he was living there. He'd married a widow woman. Never could I have him to work with like I wanted to. I always dearly loved him. And never could have from that on did I ever have opportunity to be with him. He never hurt me in his life. He always trying to take the rough off of me, keep me from having the hardest part to do. And if ever a brother loved him, let him, I loved him. But I was denied that privilege to him getting married, you know. Then he moved to Kansas a few years after that, and his wife died there. Then he goes to work and he had a little child, and the girl took that child to take care of it. And when he was about 3 or 4 years old, then him and this girl got married. And her folks didn't want to go west, and they went west, and they got out in Oregon, but they went with him, and he had a team, wagon and harness, and he said he had about $100 in money left. And he got out there, one of his horses died. And his brother-in-law come home drunk, and him and his brother-in-law got into a fight. Billy was kind-hearted and pleasant fella, but he had an awful hot temper. He got mad, he'd fight the wood saw. And so they fell out, and the next morning they unloaded his stuff, and they'd been pulling his too, you know, his wagon. Left him sitting there with his wagon and his goods and one horse. And they went on and left him. So he left his wife there, and he went, struck out, and after he went about 40 miles, he found a place where he could get work. And they didn't have a horse, go back and get his wife and children, her baby, he had one baby, I think. And then his two children by his wife before that. And so I went to see him the year of the fair at Seattle, Washington. That's been, must have been around 40 years ago. Chris Gertrude was a baby. And I stayed a week with him. And I had to travel 115 miles by wagon. Four horses on a wagon pulling over them mountains. I thought we never would get there. Then when I left there, we went the other way, 110 miles by wagon. Then we got back to where the train was again, then we got back to the line where we was at. Then I never seen him anymore till here. It's been about 15 years ago, and Hazel and my wife and me went to California. Uriglick, when we come down, yeah, stayed all night here. And then I went by and seen him and stayed a week with him. He was always saying that he was going to come and back here and we'd buy land and live together. When I went to see him there, when I went to World Fair, he had 1,500 acre ranch. He had 40 head of cows. And he had 40 head of horses. And he said, just as quick as the time was right, he was going to sell them and sell his ranch, and then he'd come back here. We were going to buy land up here for Almona and divide it up, and each one of us had 220 acres. I'd sell my farm down here. I was offered $75 an acre for a thing. And he said about the time he was ready to sell, he took some men up there to look at his horses, and they're all gone. They run out on the range, you know, 15, 20 miles from home. Well, then he followed them from down Salt Lake City. They drove about 100 miles, 150 miles, and then they put them on the train and run down Salt Lake City, Utah, and they unloaded them and took them into mountains, and they lost them. He never could find more of them. Well, he went back home, and he had the awful blues. And his cattle run on his ranch there, his cows did, and on another range that he had paid so much for the use of it. And by jingle, he decided to bring the cattle in for winter. He had 30 acres of alfalfa hay, irrigated hay, you know, and they cut 4 and 5 crops out of there. All the rackets hay, everything grew. And so he went out to get his cattle, and all the best cattle he had was gone. They were stolen. And he never got nothing out of that. So he never got to come to be with me. All the song. Hoped he would. And when I seen him out there at the time, Hazel and me and my wife come by there. He had a 1,500-acre ranch there. I don't know where he ever sold that and down, but Drewcy or not. I don't know if he still had that or not. But he had that there, and he only had about 5 acres there to get land on it. And he only had about 15 head of horses, and I think 6 or 8 head of cows is all he had. Shirley told me he was going to sell and come stay with me. He said, children's all married now, and he's going to come stay with me, but he never came. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've worked hard all my life. I never had to go hungry or cold. And I'll say this, George. If you were worth $1,000,000, you should do something, work at something. You'd be healthier, live longer, and live happier. Now, that's right. Now, here I've been for near 20 years blind, practically blind. And it's awful. It's terrible to be that way, and you can't see the work, you can't do. And sitting around, you know, your blood don't circulate good, now my leg is when you're paralyzed all the time, they're numb now, just numb as they can be. And I don't get to sleep good. I don't sleep more than 15 or 20 minutes an hour all night to set up by the time. 3 nights ago, I set up from 1 o'clock till daylight. Couldn't get my breath. Very hard for me. But as I look back over it, I've had a good life. I don't know. I could make probably some changes and might be for better than I'd not if I had to live over. But that's my advice to every man, woman, or child. Work, do something as long as you live. You'll be better and be healthier, feel better. You notice now all these fellas that quit work when they're retired at 45, 50 years old, 40 and 50. They are living on 4, 5, 10 years. They're out and gone. They just won't. Their system don't work right, you know, without work. If you're working, you know, it moves every part of your body, arms, your shoulders, and legs, and your stomach even moved up and down a little once in a while. It's just good for a fella. You don't hurt a fella, George, to be poor. Only the disadvantages he gets in it. But there's this thing about it. There's always a chance for you to climb up. Climb up. Never try to climb too fast. Save every dollar you can. Don't waste it. Don't go hungry or cold. But don't waste. Don't gamble. Don't get into something and jerk it away from you. That's my advice to you.